Hello and welcome back to Eric Oat Coffee, your coffee boys, coffee lovers.
We do love coffee, but this episode is not about coffee, is it?
It's never about coffee, right?
Actually, what do you drink on the airplane?
What I drink on the airplane?
Yeah, what do you get when they ask you, hey, you want a drink, sir?
It's just water or like, yeah, I think water mainly.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I keep it basic. Like, coffee on an airplane is disgusting, so that's one.
Yeah.
I mean, if you like those instant coffee thingies, then it's fine.
But it's usually those, like, batch.
No. I like when they sell a cappuccino or something, yeah, on the airplane, it's not like freshly frothed milk or whatever.
They never have cappuccino on my airplanes.
Oh, I had it. It was available, I guess.
Okay.
But it's just those bags, you know, the powdery bags.
Like Nespresso.
Nescafe. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
You know what also people drink on the airplane? Beer. Yeah.
Actually, yes, I've seen that. And also like hard liquor and wine and the alcohols.
Also at like weird times of the day. Like, yeah. I was in an airplane and it was like at 9 a.m. There were people drinking beers and like it was just lemonade.
Good start of the day,
I guess.
Honestly, people, like, some people are like, I want to be buzzed. That's it.
Yeah,
that's all they think about.
Like, I think some people do is like to live life. They just drink or they like they have a buzz, right?
Yeah,
it's like a normal state.
It's a perpetual state of buzziness.
Yeah, exactly. It's like for us, it's drinking coffee, I guess, not really, drinking water. I think that's like a normal state of mind or life.
Listen,
I'm listening.
The best drink to get,
yeah,
is cran apple juice.
Okay.
Cranberry and apple. And they usually only have that. At least when I travel to the US, they always have that on the plane. And that's like the specific drink I get. It's from like, what's it called again? Like Minute Maid?
Oh, yeah. They make like orange juice most times.
Yeah, but they also have like cans of none.
Oh, they have those in the airplane. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, I've not seen those, but Minute Maid, I've seen like when you ask for orange juice, you get a can of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're not like sparkling.
No. Oh, that's nice. That's better.
And they're so cold and they give you like they usually, when Kayla and I ask for drinks, they give a whole can. They don't just pour it and then give you the cup.
Do you get one of those like mini cans? They serve
a
lot of times.
No, it's like 330 milliliters.
Oh, just a regular one.
Yeah.
All right.
And they serve it on like crushed ice.
Ooh, nice.
And then you can keep sipping it for like half an hour.
Nice.
And
it's really fresh, I guess.
Oh my God.
You know what I've discovered on vacation? Appetizer.
Appetizer?
Yeah.
What is that?
So it's like an apple cider, but there's no alcohol in it. It's just like...
There's alcohol
it's
in
like,
it?
No, not. It's like apple juice with bubbles.
Appetizer.
And it sounds disgusting, but I swear, with like a few ice cubes, it's so refreshing.
It sounds
good. It's really nice.
It sounds almost like Apple Bandit.
Yeah, exactly. That's an apple cider, but there's alcohol in it, or you have like an alcohol-free version.
Yes.
But it's still not the same as that. Like the alcohol-free.
Is it bitter?
No.
It's not been beered.
No, exactly. It's not been beered like cider is, right? Like
beard. Even is that a verb?
I don't know. It has not been cidered.
That's also not a verb.
I know, but it's like apple juice with bubbles. But I mean, that sounds disgusting. If you think like
it doesn't sound disgusting.
If you buy like a pack,
no,
like
on ice, I would love that.
But with bubbles though,
I like that.
Oh, right. So
apple juice
cider
already doesn't taste like apples. It's like some kind of weird like How do you even explain that?
Talking about apple juice, it's weird. Yeah. It's like, I don't know.
I think it's like boiled or something.
It's almost not like a regular fluid for some
reason.
Yeah,
it's like piss, actually.
Oh, God.
No, like, honestly, it has very same, like, almost the same smell as piss, too. It's not as bad.
And a color, I guess.
But it's like, there's like a bit of oxidization.
It's like the texture is a bit like silky or something.
But it leaves your mouth dry, though.
Yeah.
At least my mouth.
Anyway, I think like appetizer is a nice drink.
But they don't have that on planes, do they?
No. The only thing they have on planes is, for some weird reason, a lot of alcohol. Well, so I was on an airplane, basically, and I was like, There's always that one moment in the airplane where they walk by with a trolley and they sell you stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And it's always the biggest amount of garbage you can imagine. And I was like thinking, like, what is this for? Like backwards, old school, you know? It's so weird that you're in an airplane going from one place to another and there's someone walking by with a cart and they sell you like the worst earbuds that you have ever heard.
Duty free, bro.
Yeah, but
duty free. You know what that means? Duty free, bro.
Yeah, but it's always garbage though. Like if it's something really, you know, a MacBook Pro on the airplane, duty free.
Listen, sometimes they sell perfumes.
Well, they always sell perfumes, but even that is also a bit weird. Like I don't know. It's just weird.
The concept is weird.
The concept is weird, yeah. And like if you're in a train, for example, and mm-hmm. someone walks by with a cart and they sell you like earbuds, you're not gonna buy those.
No. Also, they give away free earbuds.
Well, they don't anymore, I think.
Yes, they did.
Oh.
Well, at least on long planes.
On long planes, like maybe.
9-hour plane.
That's also, I also noticed that. Like, you have those weird plugs, right? The double plug thingy. Well, they were in the chair, but there was nothing to do with them. Like, the controls, there were no controls because no one listens to radio anymore.
Oh, yeah.
There's no screen, so you have nothing to watch.
Wait.
But the inputs were still there on the chair. And I was like, wait, what? What's the use of this? But I don't know. Anyway. It's just, it's such an old school thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a luxury thing. You're flying in the air, you know? It's a magical experience that someone rolls a cart by.
Have you seen anyone buy anything?
No, that's also the thing, right?
Nobody buys anything.
I'm like always curious, like someone has to buy it because mm-hmm. otherwise, why would there be?
Honestly, I think they're just trying to dump off their garbage on us, on the passengers.
It's always new stuff, though. Like, I always see something new on the menu.
Well,
it's not like...
It's not like the newest technology.
True.
It's like from a couple of years ago.
It's also always way too expensive for what it is.
Yes.
Like, you get those earbuds that are like from a brand you've never heard of before, mm-hmm. and it's like 70 euros. And I'm like, what? For 70 euros, you could buy like really good headphones.
It's like AliExpress junk.
They just buy it for like a few cents in bulk. Yes. Yeah.
Honestly, yeah.
But hey, it's duty free.
I don't get the concept, honestly. Like, why you already have junk in your like...
In your luggage,
you know, like you don't want to buy stuff that you don't need at that moment.
The only thing I can imagine is like if you buy those headphones, it's because you forgot them, for example.
But it's still not worth it.
I know.
The price is too much.
I know, but it's like, well.
It was like €5.
I have like a 11-hour flight and I forgot my headphones, you know. Are you going to pay like €70 for a set of headphones so you can at least do something while you're traveling?
No.
Well, I think there might be some people who do.
Yeah, but nobody did. And people who travel for 11 hours, they come prepared.
True, that's true. It's the same with the perfume, right? It also feels weird.
Perfume makes the most sense. Listen, it's a gift. It could be a gift. It could be a perfume you've had your eye on for a while, and you're like, oh, man, finally.
Listen, you go to the airport, you have like... a million shops there that are also duty free, mm-hmm. and you can buy perfume in bulk there.
It might be the specific one.
But listen, then you land at the other airport, and guess what? You have to go through the fucking gift shops again. from my vacation back home, you were forced to walk through like, I don't know, a few hundred meters of shops to get to like the gates and stuff.
At the island you were at.
So you have to go through like it's like at a museum. You have to go through the gift shop to get to the exit, uh-huh. and it's all just bullshit and perfume and like oversized bag of M&Ms and all that stuff.
Wait, oversized? There's no such thing as oversized.
There is, dude.
No.
You don't need a kilogram of M&Ms.
That's what you say. Dude, I've had like 440 grams of M&Ms in two sittings.
In two?
Like 2 days. Yeah, I was puking the first day.
color puke.
No, it was all brown. It all changes to brown.
Nice.
When it mixes.
But, I mean, you have two opportunities to buy perfume and they roll out down the cart in the airplane and then you buy the perfume. I don't know. It's just, it's a weird concept.
It is. There might be a day where I will buy something. I'll message you, okay? I'll be like, "Hey, I bought something."
I'm really curious what you bought. So,
I will genuinely look. Like, usually I don't even take a look at what they sell. Because I'm like, why did I get this, like, brochure crap?
I always, like, I don't know, skim through it just because I'm curious, like, what crap do they have now?
Yeah.
And it's always, like, shitty watches and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway. Nice distraction from the real topic of this episode.
Oh, boy, yeah.
What is the real topic, actually?
What is the real topic?
I kind of want to, like, give it the title of Why We Struggle with Web Dev in 2023 / still things we still miss in web development. Like, we're still not 100% happy about the environment.
Yeah.
Like, the work environment.
Well, also not the environment, but yeah. The work environment too.
The environment is garbage. It's getting too hot.
It's getting too hot, yes.
But my main point is that I feel like we're still looking for ways to do our work indirectly. Like,
yeah.
So listen, imagine you're a doctor.
Whoa, yeah.
Imagine you're a doctor.
Uh-huh.
You're gonna work and do your work.
Uh-huh.
So who what are you gonna do? Like, are you gonna test some things probably on, like, organisms?
Uh-huh.
You're gonna, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. I was, like, thinking what kind of doctor. I was thinking about a normal doctor, but
what's a normal doctor?
I don't know. You have it, like, your house doctor. I don't know what you call that.
Yeah, sure.
Just a regular.
Oh, general doctor. Practitioner.
Yes. I'm not, like, downplaying it, by the way. I mean, any doctor is, you know.
Okay, so you're a general practitioner.
Uh-huh.
So you study at school.
Yeah.
And you have, like, exams, and you have, like, things you can do, tests and crap like that.
Yeah.
And you might have to, like, do some very basic surgery, like just cut open,
remove, like, skin tags and stuff like that, right? They do that, or, like, warts, I think.
Yeah. They don't even cut that usually.
No, but they freeze them or whatever they do. But
That was a fun experience. Anyway, so and then the job is to actually work with the thing you've studied for, which is, like, you know, like, a person, a human body, usually,
yeah.
And you have to know some medicine. And then there's, like, sometimes, like, it used to be you have to, like, put something in someone's anus to check their temperature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But nowadays there's, like, these things you put in the air and they check your temperature. And so, like, it's evolving. It's new tools. But, like, it's basically the same concept.
Sure.
You just have to, like, instead of stick it in someone.
Hey, sounds like a good progression, right?
Yeah, it's not that orifice, it's the other orifice that's always usually exposed.
It's a more comfortable one.
Not always.
No?
Like, it's less private. Like, sometimes I actually, like, pull my ear open and, like, push it in.
Jam it in.
It actually hurts. But
that still feels better than, like, having to drop my pants and pull my underwear down and just, like, you know, open up.
Yes, well, you don't have to open. It's like this small.
I'm kidding.
It will slide in. It's fine.
It's fine.
Anyway, my point is, most jobs, they study for it, they do it, and then the in practice is very similar to what they studied for it.
Sure. Yeah.
But I feel like web and, like, technology is like a completely different kind of thing. It's like, not only the topic changes all the time, it's also all the tools you've learned, all the things you've learned at school. It's like,
they all become useless after a while.
They're like basics. And it's like, in practice,
it's different.
Yeah, it's very different.
Yeah.
And my point is, in web dev, in 2023, after I've just recently looked at the, like, how long I've been doing this.
Oh, God.
I started my first job in 2008. That is 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm still, like, doing the same crap. Like, it still is, like, HTML, CSS, JS.
In different ways. Yes. But yeah.
It used to be, like, jQuery and this and that. Yeah. And like, you're going to do border radius because Internet Explorer couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like,
I remember those days. Like, you had to use images for the borders, for example. Yeah.
And there were, like, polyfills and stuff as well. Like, anyway. It's 2023 and I still am, like, I want to be able to have control over my work environment, over my tools, over, like, why hasn't this been evolved or progress in a way that we're all doing the same thing the same way.
Yeah.
And you can study for it and you can just do it.
Yeah.
And it's like as simple as that.
I think one of the big reasons is that web dev is a bit too new compared to like being a doctor, you know? I think
You had quacks before too.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
People who are like just doing shit.
Yeah, maybe that's what we are right now as a developer. I don't know.
Maybe.
But it's just, I think like being a doctor or the human body has been around for so long that like everything is a bit, they're still discovering new things, mm-hmm. you know, but I think they kind of fixed onto, you know, the final form or of how to do, you know. I can't imagine there won't be a large progression towards, I don't know, taking your temperature, for example. I can't imagine that there's going to be like something new.
Implants. Yeah, you don't have to go to the doctor anymore. The doctor has to like read it on a computer screen.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah. I don't know, wearing a watch, for example, will automatically pass through your temperatures to your doctor. But still, like the concept of your temperature measuring and the measurement that is required, you know, that's healthy, that will stay the same, I think.
Yeah. And
you know,
I don't know. Maybe humans will evolve in the
lizard people. Yeah. We get like cold blooded and. But no, I don't know.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, like maybe the fact that a lot of jobs that are practical have like fundamental physical aspects that are true to the physical world.
Yeah,
that aren't changing because physics don't change.
Like they're like factual.
Yes. Exactly. It's like a given.
Yeah.
You cannot twist it.
Exactly. And like there might change a few things, but it's not going to be, you know, a big impact in what you do. And as a developer, it still feels like we're just, you know, scrambling around trying to find, you know, solutions for problems that have been around for like years.
Well, that's another thing I want to highlight is I don't think all developers have this issue.
Sure.
It's mostly developers who are working in technologies that are still being figured out.
Yeah.
Like the browser.
I guess.
Like if you look at like C++.
I was
like
thinking about that, yeah.
Game development and stuff. Okay, sure. A new game engine.
Yeah.
But the language.
C++ is still around.
Yeah.
And like, you know, being used for games.
Also for like native applications.
Yeah, but I mean, like you can still, you know, you can build a game with C++, and like it doesn't really, the engine doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter, but you know, the basic is still there.
Exactly, like the syntax won't change as much as well.
Yeah.
Well, JavaScript, for example, is evolving literally every half year or something. There's like new features, new additions.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, those additions are, it's kind of funny because, you know, there's other languages than just JavaScript. There's like Rust, there's Go, there's Python. And especially like Rust and Go, they're like using concepts from C++, but also modernizing it a bit.
Yeah.
The syntax is kind of interesting. I'm not sure I'm like 100% comfortable with Rust syntax, but JavaScript is trying to imitate or I guess copy like more native languages. They have like crazy things nowadays, like what's it called again, like wait, let me look it up.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to point out is that JavaScript is constantly evolving to keep up with other languages because it's trying to fill in the space that JavaScript is automatically taking. People use JavaScript for everything nowadays. It's not just I'm going to select a DOM element.
Yeah, I think one of the big issues with JavaScript is and always has been that people use it or misuse it for a lot of things.
Yes.
And that's, I think, it's in the core of JavaScript to be flexible in that way. But it's also causing a lot of issues in the long run, I think. Mm-hmm. Because that will always force JavaScript to evolve because there's no, I don't know, it doesn't have like fixed borders or like how do you call it? There's no space where it will stay in. It's always trying to, you know, move around.
Yeah. The thing I wanted to say was generators.
Okay.
It's like something that you very unlikely will use in like web development.
Yeah.
But like JavaScript is now being used on the back end too in Node.js. Mm-hmm. So you know, there's some use cases for generators there, but it's like such a small thing. But it's there now, so you better know what it is if you see it.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't exist before. But let me see. We as web developers are not using JavaScript. Like, we're not utilizing it fully.
Yeah.
We're using it to, like, select stuff in our DOM. Which is actually, if you think about it, JavaScript natively, the JavaScript engine doesn't have browser DOM manipulation functions.
Doesn't it?
No. Like, if you, in Node.js, you cannot do document dot...
Yeah.
Like, select element or something. You cannot do that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't exist. That API is specifically for the browser.
Yeah.
And that's kind of funny to think about, is that when you think of JavaScript, you think of browsers.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But it's not that. It's way more than that, but it's also less than that, depending on the circumstance, the context. But the number one usage of JavaScript nowadays, like, you cannot go to a website without JavaScript anymore.
Yeah. And
because everything uses a framework.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to me, that's kind of an interesting change. Like, it has been changing since, like, early 2010s.
Yeah, I mean, like, jQuery was one of the first... Is it a framework, I guess? You can call it a framework, I think, yeah. Like, jQuery felt more like a way to fill in the gaps that JavaScript created, or, you know...
I would say it's a library, by the way.
Okay, it's a library, yeah, okay. Yeah, it tries to make JavaScript easier to use and not necessarily expand it.
Yeah.
And I think most frameworks are trying to make JavaScript do things that it doesn't natively do, or, you know.
I think, so when I think about frameworks, it to me, it sounds like we want to manipulate the DOM in a way that natively is kind of impossible.
Yeah.
So... the number one thing is, like, binding, like data binding.
Yeah.
You want an element to update something, or you want the element to show or hide depending on a Boolean in your code. And normally you have to have something like an event that triggers, and then during that event you can, like, add a class or delete the element.
Yeah, something has to tell the JavaScript to do something.
Yes. And natively, that's still the case with frameworks. Mm-hmm. It's just abstracted to more, like, hooks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, in React, you have the use effect, which effectively uses just a function that catches a change, which the React framework engine can keep track of. Because you define that variable as a state with a use state. We're talking about, like, functional React, by the way. Like, it's still the same concept, right? Like, you have a function that triggers when an event happens, when a variable changes.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen magically, but I mean, it kind of is nowadays, because you just don't think about it. If you're a React developer and you never knew that JavaScript wasn't a real-time application, like, there's no continuous loop in JavaScript.
Well, no, not natively, or, like,
no,
you know, in a disgusting way, you can kind of do it, but...
I mean, then your browser will hang.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, JavaScript executes on event. It's like an event-driven language.
Yeah.
So how do you get something that is event-driven to feel like a constant moving thing?
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of interesting. I feel like even games are being written in frameworks nowadays.
Yeah.
So you have it's not a set interval, but it's like a combination of request animation frame with, like, a timer function that checks the amount of time that's passed to give the game engine the delta. So, like, the distance something has traveled in that time, because, you know, if the frame hasn't rendered like 60 times per second because of lag, it still has to travel, like, the character has to travel the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
Independent of the frame rate. Anyway, my point is, React is being, like, and frameworks are being used for a lot of things.
Yeah,
and we love them. Like, We want to imitate native apps.
I don't love them, to be honest, but continue.
I mean, the world loves them.
Sure, yeah.
People, when they use browsers, they expect it to work like a native application.
Yeah. Yeah, nowadays for most web apps or like, web apps, I guess, mm-hmm. they expect it to work that way.
But frameworks are usually also, I'm talking about like the general public
sure.
who uses frameworks without their knowledge. Like if you're using the browser,
mm-hmm.
9 out of 10 websites you visit is actually run by a framework.
Yeah.
There's a framework underneath most websites.
Yeah, well, yeah. So they don't expect the frameworks, but they expect the functionalities that the frameworks provide.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you just have a native website, mm-hmm. like without frameworks, it will feel outdated.
Mm-hmm.
As a developer, you're limited to the options
yeah.
that, you know, natively you have. But as a user, you're also like, why is this not Facebook? Why is this not Reddit? Why mm-hmm. is this not, you know, like it... There are functionalities and like interactions you expect from a browser.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, it's actually hilarious because a browser is meant to render static document-based,
yeah.
text-based documents that don't update 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
They're meant to update never. Updating a document was super expensive and browsers had to adjust for like real-time rendering.
Yeah. But it's like the whole problem is also that like the web was not made for what we're using it for right now. As in, the web was made to display text and images,
mm-hmm.
Like scientifically.
Yeah, like a paper.
Yeah,
you know, like an article you're reading. But nowadays it's like an interactive mess of like a soup of interactivity.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Everything has to respond and react, and mm-hmm. everything has to be like also instantly and
animated,
and it's a lot that we, you know, we take for granted, I guess,
mm-hmm.
from the web right now.
Yeah, and I feel like as a developer, you're still looking for a native way. Like, I am at least always like, I'm gonna start a new project.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with vanilla JavaScript and then we're like, oh, but I want to have state.
Yeah.
I want to keep track of state. I want to update this button's text.
Yeah.
Do I want to use the vanilla JavaScript?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to anymore because it's one, a lot of writing. Two, bugs are really annoying to fix.
Yeah.
Because you got to keep track of the state yourself.
Yeah.
And there are libraries that like fill in the state management.
Again, then you're still adding stuff, right?
Yes.
You're adding a library. So
exactly.
I think that's also a reason why a lot of people use frameworks is because it's just easier to, you mm-hmm. know, to just to make sure that it works, mm-hmm. I guess, and yeah. get started.
I always feel limited when I don't use a framework nowadays.
Yeah.
And
that sucks, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
that it's necessary to use a framework to do,
mm-hmm.
I want to say basic things, but, you know.
It's not native anymore, so it's not basic.
Yeah.
The last time I used vanilla JavaScript was like 2019 or something for the Cursive website.
Yeah.
You know, the form that we animated and stuff.
Yeah.
It was a lot of work.
No, but what I mean with basic is like what we need right nowadays to make like, something, you know?
That form wasn't like complex visually
or
like the interactivity wasn't that complex.
Mm-hmm.
But creating it natively with vanilla JavaScript was complex.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's like, it was a lot of work to do something that was a lot easier if I did it in a framework.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Updating the state of the form.
Yeah.
Keeping track of the inputs.
It's all stuff that's like defaultly baked into frameworks right mm-hmm. nowadays. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I think our main point is that's why we struggle with web dev in 2023. A struggle sounds really bad.
Yeah.
But it's like we're still not comfortable with the tools we have in the point that we still have to like keep track of all the changes. Every year there's a new version of React.
Well, it's multiple things, right? Because it's all those versions that change mm-hmm. and also, you know, a lot of stuff gets deprecated suddenly,
mm-hmm.
but also there's like 100 frameworks and they are all different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, a lot on a lot that's causing a lot of issues with development right now.
I just wish like the browsers would just update their native features/tools
Yeah.
They just feel insufficient for nowadays.
For
the future and the modern web.
I wish that native JavaScript would do anything we need nowadays in a, you know, structured and, you know, easy way.
Yeah. And I like at the start of this conversation, we also pointed out that like JavaScript natively doesn't have browser API, but that's kind of cool because I mean, depending on the context, when you add JavaScript in your browser, you can extend it with specific APIs for the browser. And yes, we've had web components.
Yeah.
That is an extension of JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
But what about like framework-like features in the JavaScript API?
Yeah.
That would be so good. Like document.querySelector, you know, that's not available in native. But what about like document.create app container?
Yeah.
Like it's possible. But we just need a standardized way of doing things.
And, yeah.
I think JavaScript, the people behind JavaScript are like, there's so many frameworks. And all of them are opinionated.
Yeah.
We're just going to let them do their thing. And we're not going to, you know, pick one and then make that native. Even though I think it should be done in the future.
Yeah. I think it should be. But that's the thing. I think it should be mainly done for us developers to make our lives easier. But I think they keep it open because that's also what the web is, right? That it's you can do anything you want, but it also feels like you're just in the Wild West.
Yeah.
And there are no like strict laws and stuff you have to, you know, adhere to. So it can be really chaotic and messy and annoying.
Yeah. It's just, like if you think about it, web components are kind of opinionated too.
Sure. Yeah.
They're kind of like classes.
Mm-hmm.
You can have like styling that's scoped to the component, and the way you load them and stuff is there's a native way. There's a native way to load web components, but it feels like they have made a choice.
Yeah.
And I feel like they haven't been pushing it as hard as other frameworks have been pushing their own way of working.
I mean, that's also because all frameworks, or you know, the biggest frameworks, are all backed by, you know, huge companies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, React is Facebook, Angular is Google. I don't know what Vue is, but
Vue is you.
Vue is also backed by something. I don't remember what exactly, but you know,
Vue is you.
Vue is me.
Yes, it's you, the user.
But it's, you know, it's. It's all commercial, how do you call that?
Yeah.
I want to say communism, but that's not the right
thing. The thing is, they are open source, though.
They are, but, you know,
yeah.
Everything that's backed by a big company or a huge amount of money is a lot easier to get things done, you know?
True. Oh, man. Like, remember the time when websites were just acting like websites and not applications?
Yeah.
And like all, this whole thing stems from the fact that we wanted more out of our browsers. We wanted to like abuse browser technologies to do what we expect from native apps.
Yep.
Like biggest example, Office.
Mm-hmm.
They don't produce native apps anymore.
Yeah.
It's Office 365. It's open your browser.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. But the browsers. Like, and there's another side of this story is like browser technologies have been, you know, expanding so much. You can do all native things in browsers nowadays that weren't possible like 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah. I think, again, I'm just guessing, but I think also a big reason why this push happened is because a lot of, you know, again, bigger companies were not satisfied by the fact that they had to build a website and an app, you know, separately and with different languages and different, like, you need different people with different skill sets to do those things.
Yep.
And it's, of course, that's always been a thing. It's a lot cheaper to use one guy who can do both than, you know, use two people.
It's also more consistent, like feature-wise.
Yes, I mean, if it works, it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not, that's always the case with hybrid apps, to be honest. But
There was a period where hybrid apps were always bad.
Yeah.
But I feel like nowadays it's
the
actually...
Cordova age, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, man. That was a weird period.
But yeah.
Honestly, nowadays, like, computers are so fast. Mm. Like, running four browsers underneath, like, the app you open.
Yeah.
They're just all Chrome. But... It still works.
Yeah. I mean, I still think that you kind of notice it still, yes. A native versus a hybrid app. And a native app still feels, you know, so much better.
Yes. It's also
performance-wise,
yeah, efficient.
Of course, that's also something that, you know, is development dependent, as in you can optimize.
Yeah. But out of the box, like the rendering pipeline stuff of, because I feel like browsers, The like JavaScript isn't the slowest. Mm. It's pretty efficient nowadays, but the rendering is what like takes a toll on your computer.
It's still no C++.
Yeah, still not native OpenGL.
Yeah.
Well, I just maybe one day, you know, I hope something changes and browsers are like, you know what? If you want to run applications, there's a separate version.
Yeah,
that it is like tailored to applications.
Yeah, instead of trying to mash it into one, you know, big pile. Yeah,
yeah. Or they finally make the switch to say, like, if you want to read documents, there's two like underlying native engines: document based HTML and app based HTML, and you can like switch.
It's just pretty funny because it's full circle back to where you know it started.
Kind of like the biggest reason people also wanted to make apps in web is how nice it is to style things. You can customize everything, and CSS is kind of nice.
Sure.
Have you tried doing like native app development, like styling?
No, but I mean, I know that CSS is, you know, such an easy, nice way to style elements. So,
and if you think about it, a lot of apps also like provide text and images and are, you know, they should behave the same way as how a browser displayed a document, but there's like more functionality to it and there's transitions and there's animations.
Yeah.
So I see where they came from. Sure. I just think we're so far away from what the web used to be.
Yeah.
That there should be a moment where it's like, okay, this isn't the web anymore. This is something else.
Yeah. And something should change.
Yes. Who knows?
Who knows and who will do it? That's the question.
Google, another commercial.
Sure. Dude, Google has been trying to fix Firebase for years now, and it's still a mess. So.
It's still a fiery base, okay.
Oh my God.
It's still on fire.
And also looking at all the projects that Google tries to, you know, produce and fail is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I think Google Cloud Platform is probably... doing okay. I don't know.
I think so. But I mean, like Google Plus and all that shit, you know.
That's been the dark ages.
It's just, I don't know.
Google Hangouts?
Google Hangouts. That's still a thing, right? Oh, no, it's Google Meet now? I don't know.
Not sure.
Oh, well.
Shall we end this episode?
Yeah, we should.
Because we've been talking for a while.
It was a nice transition from airplane drinks and, you know.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't remember how we transitioned, but...
We did it.
It was a soft landing?
That's a joke. Oh, no, it was a crash, dude.
Oh.
It was right in the ocean.
Hey, that's still softer than the floor.
No.
Not at that speed.
No, not at that speed, no.
Okay.
Thank you for listening and maybe even watching.
Who knows?
Who knows? We'll catch you on the next episode.
Bye-bye.
Bye.